Bonnie Connie, everyone. This is Professor Amin Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University of Long Beach, former city councilman for the city of Compton, and former Compton College Board of Trustees for Compton Community College, and former Compton Unified School District for Board of Trustees for Compton Unified School District. I want to welcome you here to the Conscious Corner. And we wish for all of you blessings without number, and that you would continue the struggle. We have an in-depth discussion tonight about what's going on in Venezuela and a couple of other top subjects that are in the media today. It's very important that we learn from each other and that we really discuss these things because we have to educate our people to what's going on, our family members and whoever's within our sphere of influence. And we have to have knowledge and get different concepts from all over the world. And so this, you see, Venezuela, and most people don't know, is 10 to 12% African. There's over 1.8 to 2, it's 30 million people in Venezuela or more, and 1.2 million, 1.8 to 2 million are African. And we don't realize that for a certain extent. So it's our interest to look at what's going on in Venezuela and the threats to Cuba and the threats to Colombia, where there's Afro-Colombians and Afro-Cubans. And I don't know what's in Greenland, but the point is that we must be discussing these things because it's directly and indirectly affecting us. Ernest, what do you think about Venezuela and how you think it should turn out?
Well, I kind of agree we should not have gone in there in the first place and need to get the hell out of there. Because all these, like you say, is just, I don't know how stupid he thinks the American people are. Because like you were saying, he got tied up in that Epstein stuff and then they playing hide and go seek with the paperwork and stuff, so we don't know who all is involved, and then he try to get our mind off of that on this Venezuela. But that stuff don't work, you know. Nobody's falling for that because we know what's going on. And so to me, it's just ridiculous. It's really embarrassing because I'm embarrassed of my own people. Because like my daughter say over in France, people over there wondering, well, what the hell is wrong with those Americans? What's going on over there? I mean, they kind of bewildered, you know, but they, everybody know what he's doing, what he's trying to do. But I mean, that's not, and then you got these idiots in Congress and stuff that he appointing in all these positions, and then half of them don't know what they're doing, don't know the job, and they're in important jobs that affects the general populace, and then here, and we're suffering. You know, Americans, we're falling lower and lower on the cost of living and stuff, and then they're doing all this for money so they can get richer. The oligarchs can get richer and richer. And it's just, I don't know. And this is the kind of crap that breeds revolution and stuff, because people are going to be getting sick of this.
All right, Brother Ahi, you there? Brother Ahi? You on mute?
Yes.
Well, you know, we talked about this about a month ago when they first started blowing up those ships. I mean, those little boats, because they weren't ships, but the little boats down in and what the end game was. Now, he got these Cubans up under him, Rubio. It's one of them. I forget the other one. But they have strong influence with him. This is twofold for him. One thing is for the American companies to go back down there and start making some money, and for them to have some type of influence with that country so that the American oil companies can make some money. It's about the money. And the other one, because of Cuba's dependence on that oil, not only for it to use for their company, but that somehow they're making profiting off of this oil down in Venezuela also. It's to destabilize both countries. He even hinted to the fact that he's willing to invade Cuba. So to when he gets control of this oil, if he gets control of it, that's going to really mess with Cuba's finances. And they already have a whole lot of malcontent there. People they're really in a tough time. The worse than it was a year, 2 years ago. And so this could easily tip the scale to where the people are going to be malcontent. And not have so much opposition to him, to Orange Head invading Cuba. Now, I don't know what his plan is down here with Venezuela as far as what to do with the government. He didn't take the whole government out. He just kidnapped the leader. And he left the rest of the government there.
Mm-hmm.
They went from saying, we fighting, you're not getting the oil, to they changed the rhetoric to we would like to work with America so that we can get back on our feet here. And we want peace in the region, all that kind of stuff. They changed the rhetoric. So I don't know what their official stance is, according to Democracy Now! News. But initially they were tough talking, and now they're a little bit more willing to negotiate and talk with America. So that was twofold: one, to gain control of the oil down in Venezuela, have some influence, get the American companies down there. He's talking about wanting to build the infrastructure, but he doesn't have a plan, and that's going to take years, maybe a decade, to do what he would like to do. But he's not one to have a whole lot of plans. He doesn't see a whole lot of things through. He's like an impulsive guy. So that's going to be messed up down in Venezuela, just when George Bush said the same thing. I mean, they'll use the same type of excuse to get on up there and destabilize Libya and take out Gaddafi. The same kind of thing with the mass destruction, weapons of mass.
That was Obama.
I mean, who when George Bush went up in
Iraq.
Afghanistan.
Yeah.
Afghanistan. And destabilized it, made it worse. The Taliban and them running crazy. So that's what we do. That's my take on it, Professor and Ernie.
Well, Roger P, are you there? He's doing a lot of stuff.
I'm here.
Yeah. Did you have any comment on the Venezuela thing?
No, not too much, because it's the same. I mean, they always have their hand in something and trying to take over this, take over that, and it's. I'm a listener, Professor Roth.
Well, let's look at it from the standpoint of, America's history and this. Like they always say, no matter how long a dog stand on two legs, eventually it fall on all four. And what he's doing is in the name of America. People can be saying what Trump doing, but it's really what America's doing, because he represents America. He's using American money. He's using American troops. He's using American power, political support. So it's not and American people that support him. So that's an American move, and people keep trying to say Trump, Trump, Trump. But if they're doing it in your name, you have to accept how the people looking at you for not doing something about it. And you can't rely on the Congress or the Supreme Court that's supposed to be the check and balance of the president, because he didn't bought all them. Congress people, they're not scared. I mean, that's what them envelopes are for. When you sell your soul and you give up your power as a congressman, as a group, Why would you do that? For money. Yeah, that's the only thing to make you give that up, is not being afraid, because you afraid of what? You know, afraid of not being elected? What difference does that make if you got millions of dollars? And what does that have to do with you voting and not speaking out against wrong? So, you know, that's a whole new different dynamic. Only thing make you turn your head to that is the same thing to make a referee in a ball game turn his head to make the score different so that he can win the money, or his friends can win money on the game. Now, let me just get back into this Venezuela thing. First of all, the killing of the people in the boats, there's no proof any of them had drugs on the boat. And it took the issue of the killing of the people that were surrendering off the table. You remember that? In the first bombing of the boat, there was two survivors that was clinging to a boat.
All straight out murder, yes.
And people wanted them to release that video.
Yes.
They're not talking about that no more. Second, as Brother Ernest brought out, the Epstein tapes, they're not talking about that no more. You understand? This is front page. And then Gaza, they're not talking about that no more. You see what I'm saying? They're not even talking about inflation no more and the cost of living anymore. They took all of that off the table with these actions. That's one aspect of it. The other aspect of it is that they have decided that they are dealing with a hemisphere within their spheres, within their power, that they feel that they should control the whole hemisphere within their area. And that includes Cuba, that includes Mexico, that includes Colombia, as well as Venezuela. And the rest of those countries that's in their hemisphere. So they feel that their position is, I'm talking about what they're saying. I'm not talking about what I think. I'm telling what they're saying. They're saying that they are exercising their power to make sure none of their adversaries benefit from people that are in their hemisphere. So one of the reasons they're going, they just said, one of the demands to the Venezuelan is that you only can sell oil to the United States. You can't sell oil to Russia, China, Cuba, Colombia, or nobody else. That's what they just made a demand. They just told Venezuela to give them 30 to 50 million barrels of oil that's under his personal control, Trump's personal control. You understand? Now, the other thing is that they left the regime of Maduro in power. And one of the rationales for doing that was that, well, when they went into Iraq, they got rid of everybody and nobody knew how to run the country. Second, when Trump and the billionaire guy that he had cutting all the company, all the offices out in the United States and firing all those people, they got rid of all those offices that they would need to help run a country. You understand? So they said that we got to leave people in the country to run it, but we control them people through intimidation and threats. So it's sort of like they call neocolonialism. You controlled it, but you're not there. And they do exactly what you say. So that's one of the dynamics that they're pushing.
Ernest?
And you say, well, what can we do about it? Well, as a people, and we're machete is here. And as other people said, we have to realize and racial liberation. But we're in the war, and we are that whatever America's in, because we live in America. We got soldiers that's in the war carrying out their responsibilities as a soldier. We have people in the Air Force, the Navy, Marines, the Special Forces, everywhere. There's black people that's in there. Second, it's a significant amount of our contribution to taxes is being used in this war. So we are indirectly involved. So what do? We have to change our mentality as a people and realize that we're in a crisis mode and we have to make some critical decisions. Crisis means you have to make a decision. And that decision is to change our behavior and understanding of what's going on. Many people think, well, it's not affecting me, so they live in a normal life. But it's indirectly and directly affecting them. And they don't know it because they're so involved in what they want to do and what their goals and aspirations are, from going to college to buying a new car to getting an apartment or buying a house or going out to entertainment things, football games, season tickets, worried about the Super Bowl, worried about the Venus coming back to play tennis and all that. You're into that. You understand? So you don't really see what's going on in Venezuela and how it affects you economically, politically, culturally, and from the standpoint of the river, the effects that it's going to have on you indirectly, because you're full of the euphoria of America, which is greed and aspirations of opportunity that you have in this country. You may not get the opportunity, but you have aspirations for these opportunities to eventually, you know, live a comfortable life, fix your car up, get a new car, do whatever you're going to do. When you should be in changing every aspect of your lifestyle and training your kids. And what I mean by that, we as a people must begin to see, we as a solution, as a suggestion. I don't have all the answers, and I don't profess to have my own answers. I just try to go by history and what I think is scientifically a methodology in which we can resolve this. One, begin to just spend our money on essential things. If it's not essential, don't do it. Try to hoard and save as much money as you can. I'm talking about for your personal, family, survival, and development. Malcolm X once said that we can have a nonviolent revolution. And he said all we have to do is stop doing a lot of the things that we're doing. So if we start changing our ways of spending our money and our outlook on what America is really about and quit including ourselves as Americans and seeing ourselves morally and ethically against what America's doing. I mean, you're American by location because you're in what they have designated as America, which is really Native American property. But really going back to the fact that that's neither here nor there. That was hundreds of years ago. Right now, it's America. You got to face that. And the point is that, so when you change your ways, you get into a war mentality. Now, Brother Ernest, you've been in the service, so you know that they give you rations when you go out there and in the field. You can't go shopping and things of this nature. You can't, you know, ride a bike. You can't put on earrings and jewelry because snipers will tear your head off. You know, you think aspects of your protection, your survival, and your development to live so that you can get back home. Is that correct?
Correct.
That's your number one thing, is to be safe as you can. But you're in a war, and bullets can come from everywhere. They don't even aim. They got weapons. They just kill the bush, the whatever's in front of them. They kill everything with fire or bullets or whatever. So, because the whole purpose of war is to demolish your enemy, destroy everything, houses, everything. And so we have to get that mentality that that's where we at. We don't see it because it's camouflaged with commercials, TV, entertainment, and things of this nature. But these people are very serious about creating a hot war. We're in a cold war to a certain degree. But a hot war is when they start dropping bombs here and dropping bombs near you. I mean, you don't think it can happen until it happens. But you should be prepared for the unthinkable, you always look for things that, from the standpoint of that may happen or could happen, and you begin to think about that. So I'm not saying that you should deny yourself of any social enjoyments and things of this nature, but you should rationalize it and really think about the factors of, you know, why give your money to these places for entertainment when you're in a war zone? You know, I mean, you may not consider it a war zone, but these people then went into Venezuela, threatening Mexico, threatening Cuba, and Cuba's just 90 miles away from Florida, and threatening Mexico. And they're going back in history and going back to neocolonialism and imperialism, where the might, who say that China and America are not going to get in the struggle over Taiwan? You understand? who say that? And China got the power to fight. They got millions or so and technology. You understand? They can reach Hawaii and can reach San Francisco and things of this nature with bombs. They're not like America boasting about what they have. And the same thing, they've taken Gaza off the news thing. And so what Israel's doing to Gaza is what America's doing to Venezuela. You understand? What Russia is doing to Ukraine is what America's doing to Venezuela. What China wanna do with Taiwan and things of this nature, and what North Korea wanted to do to South Korea is the same. That's in their hemisphere. So you got powers, people with nuclear weapons talking about exercising their rights. So you into a global dynamic if you don't see things that way. But if you just see things in terms of Disneyland, Magic Mountain, Knott's Berry Farm, and just entertainment, and what's the latest movie out, and where I'm going to see Beyonce in concert, well, that's good if that's what you want to do. But that ain't reality. You know what I'm saying? Going up there seeing women half-dressed singing, or men taking their shirts off singing and rapping, and you can't even understand what they're saying. Our ball players who's risking their lives and their livelihood, knocking the hell out of each other. As Bill Russell said, football's a collision sport. A collision means accidents. You know, people get hurt all the time, career-ending injuries. And that's what people want to see. That's the culture of this society. It's gladiatorism. And what we have to do as the people is, one, change our mindset to realize where we are and why we have to change our mindset from what the country wants you to do. They want you to just go on like nothing's happening. You know, they call this normal, like people liking, like, oh, Well, that's just Trump being Trump. No, he's doing it in the name of America. You understand? So that means just so it reflects America. Quit blaming Trump. If the people don't rise up and stop, they didn't rise up and stop America for 100 years keeping us enslaved. They didn't rise up against America to stop them from killing every Native American they can find. They didn't rise up and stop the Jews from getting killed by Hitler and black people for over 6 million people. So don't think, well, you know, the people gonna rise up all the time. They can, and we hope that they will, but so far, you don't see the masses of people in America saying what America's doing in Venezuela is wrong. You got at least one third of them saying it's okay. You understand? And they armed and supportive. And that's what January 6th is about. They're celebrating it today. Insurrection that the people are saying was just people going there on a picnic. You understand that none of that really happened. And that if it did happen, it was the police fault, the FBI, and they created it, and the Democratic Party, and all of that. And they pardoned all the people. Now, here's a criminal convicted of 14 felonies going to arrest somebody in the name of America. Could you imagine that? 14 felonies convicted. And he talking about Maduro was an illegitimate president. You understand? And he was dealing drugs. You understand? Now, let's get back to America is the biggest drug dealer of them all. They call them prescriptions. You understand? That's what medical doctor means, drug dealer. You understand? They used to call them, as Ernest can remember, the pharmacy, they call them now Rite Aid and CVS, but in our day, they called them drug stores. Yeah. They used to call them drug stores, thrifty drug store. You understand? And that's what? That's because what? They dealt drugs. Every drug that's illegal, you can get with a prescription. That's why they call Oxycontin. Heroin was called Hero because it got people off of morphine. People created heroin to get people off of morphine. And that's where it got the name heroin, for Hero. You understand? They used to, in this country, have hash clubs and weed clubs. George Washington, the first president, had a hemp farm. Hemp is another word for weed. You understand? And he didn't. And he separated it. And they said he was growing it for ropes and things of this nature, but then he was separating the plants. And they said, uh-oh. You understand? They're smoking it. You understand? I mean, every culture has various forms of stimulants, peyote, whatever, mushrooms, whatever. You understand? But these people have always dealt in drugs. And they keep talking about fentanyl as being imported. No, fentanyl is being made right here. Let's face it. And you can't go after drug sellers if you don't go after the drug users. You understand? I mean, if the demand is there, all you're going to do is up the price. At one time, cocaine was a drug for the rich. They just snorted it and shot it. You understand? It was a stimulant. Entertainers used it to keep them up all night, and people use it as an aphrodisiac for sex and whatever. But at the same time, it was very expensive. You understand? But now they got it down to crack, where you can get cocaine in crack form for $1.50. You understand? And it's very addictive. And potent. You understand the way they got it now. So they made it so that poor people can get it. And that's why it has escalated. But getting back to this Venezuela situation. So So here's a person that said, this is my oil, our oil, which is going to take years to get the refine and do it. He already told the people, as he was saying, the people in Venezuela, the reason they have to make deals because they're vulnerable. They're vulnerable. Now they said that China was responsible for most of the fentanyl that comes into the United States. And some of it's coming through Mexico, whatever. They don't go after China. They ain't talking about China. They try to negotiate with China. You understand? About fentanyl. But countries like Gaza, Palestine, and who don't have weapons, they go after. It's easy to take over Venezuela. Hell, the Crips could have took over Venezuela. You understand? That ain't nothing. They're a small country. You understand? With no weapons, no aircraft, no Navy, no Marines. You understand? But America ain't going to go in there and fight them toe-to-toe. They ain't going to put no boots on the ground until after they bomb them up and get rid of their infrastructure, bomb their water plants and power plants and all of that. And after they do all of that, then they go in. Okay, but they're not going to do that. They're fighting a drone and a missile war. You know, it's the same thing they did with Iraq and Desert Storm. They told me they was going to fight out there, and they was they said they was going to fight the so-called Republican Guard out, and they on 60 Minutes they ordered 50,000 body bags for American soldiers because the Republican Guard was great. It was in their territory over Kuwait when Iraq went into Kuwait and took cars and stuff. And so the United States told them they was going to fight them out there and lined all their soldiers up like they was going to come and fight the Republican Guard. What did they do? They went around them and bombed the Capitol. You understand? Bombed the hospitals, bombed the schools, bombed their homes. Took the heart out the soldiers, and then had cluster bombs on the soldiers that broke their eardrums and everything. Well, Venezuela is trying to say, look, we have to negotiate with this beast. He came in and took our president, who we still recognize as president, and we still want our sovereignty. So we got to have another type of a plan. If not, they're armed with personal weapons and, you know, just rifles and stuff. But America's not going to go in there and fight toe-to-toe. Every war they fought toe-to-toe, they lost. They lost in Vietnam. Let's face that. They lost, Israel lost in Lebanon when they bombed them so bad they had to get out. They wouldn't get out the tanks, and they let them surrender and keep their weapons. They can't, they never fought in Gaza. They just bombed Gaza. You understand? And then after they bombed them, then they start sniping them and killing them. Babies, hospitals, bombing up their schools, their homes and everything. And then starving them and then cutting off their waters and cutting off all their electricities and all that type of stuff. And this is the same thing they'll do to Venezuela. So Venezuela say, look, we know we're dealing with the most vicious people. And it's not just Trump. People keep saying it's Trump. It's America. It's America's political, economical, education, and military complex that went into Venezuela. I mean, whenever you send them big boats with all the aircraft on them, them big ships with all the aircrafts on them, I mean, that's costing you billions of dollars. And anybody asks how much they spent, they estimate that raid in to get Maduro out cost them over $50 billion. They're saying that's how much it cost. $50 billion. You understand? For all the assets that they had to use. And they're not talking about the fact that they killed over 30 Cubans. And they're trying to tell the lady over there that they have to get the Russians out, get the Chinese out. And they can't do no financial business with nobody but America. And they have financial ties with these other people. So that's where the struggle is. All right. Now, anybody have a response to what I just said? Ernest?
The honest thing, you kind of hit on to what I was thinking about, like Russia and China, by getting that oil in Venezuela, because they were the ones just selling the cheap oil to Russia and China. When we trying to boycott the oil from, to make Russia being and China. And so that's one of the reasons that, like you hit up on, that they want that oil, you know, want to control it. And then a lot of the African nations, like you was saying some months back, they trying to, you know, they cater to Russia and China's getting footholds in Africa. And we're trying to block all that too. So it's a, you know, if it's one after another, and you wonder what is the end game? They want to just control everybody and control all the wealth and control the world, you know. And dictators and stuff, that's usually the end game to everything, is they want it all. You know, I mean, how much money can a person have and spend, you know? So it's, I don't know.
Well, these people
trying to keep you off balance too.
Well, these people are the ones that went on the moon and walked on the moon and put a United States flag on them. Yeah. You understand? Yeah. So they want to not just control Earth; they want to control
the universe.
They came out with movies like Star Wars, and some other kind of wars, gladiator wars. Before they even got to space, they know they're going to have to fight. So that's the mentality. Agenda, you there? Mashenda, are you there? All right, Brother Ahi, you still there with us?
Yeah, you know, this guy, I tell you one thing, America is not afraid to drop any bombs on people on with no evidence of them having done any wrongdoing. He's like bombed like about 7 countries. Does he think the people going to forget about that? That's what's really got me kind of, it's piquing my interest. Interest as to there's going to be some retaliatory stuff happening. You're not just going to bomb the world and then just, well, you're just going to take it and, you know, you're going to take it because we're the great America. But this guy is not, if after this, I don't think America's going to be able to travel.
Well, they're looking at it different a little bit. They're seeing it as the three major powers carving up the world and everybody else within their hemisphere and within their power, like Russia, China, and America are the two major military powers. Three. And they're saying, hey, look, I'm going to take care of my hemisphere. You can have your hemisphere. You can have Taiwan. You can have you can have North Korea. We don't give an in South Korea. We don't care. The same thing with Russia. You can have Ukraine, and you can get the hell with NATO. You can have all the land you used to have and get back. We're going to take this over here in our hemisphere, and we're going to take Cuba, we're going to take Mexico, we're going to take Greenland, we're going to take all this property we want. You can get all what you want. That seems to be the mentality that they have right now. Oh, you understand, the three powers just carving up. That's why I say y'all going back to neocolonialism and imperialism. Imperialism is, you know, to be able to impose your will on everybody because you got the superior weapons and the mindset, the greed set. See, people just want to live. Most people just want to live wherever they are in peace. And, that's all. The majority of people on Earth just want to live. live out their little life so they know death is coming. And when you get old, it's knocking on your door. You understand? When you're born, you start dying. If people don't look at it like that. But you got a date, you understand? Whenever it comes, you can die young or you can die old. Ain't no wait a minute. Ain't no second chance. We don't know if you reincarnated or going to another life form or your spirit is this or that. And all these hopes of going to heaven and all that type of stuff, we don't know because ain't nobody ever came back and said, I've been there.
That's why they ain't no hurry to get there either.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everybody, like they say, everybody want to go to heaven. Nobody want to die. And so there's a struggle there. But the point is that how do we make the best of our living now and the wise way to live? I'm proposing that we get a war mentality and self-discipline with regards to our economics and with regards to how we spend our time and essential things. So when you send your kids to school, they have to learn things that's going to enhance their opportunity for prosperity. And rather than just, I don't know what I want to be. I don't know where I'm going to be. On the way, get these skills. You understand what I'm saying? So that you have something to fall back in case you don't get to be what you want to be. I thought I was going to be a hustler or a pro basketball player. But what happened was, you know, I ended up being a professor. Now, most of the cats that went on and played pro ball, they didn't last for 3 or 4 years. I lasted 34. You understand? And so even though I didn't make the money they made up front, I made enough throughout that 34 years to be equal to what they made. You understand what I'm saying? Many of them are broke, filed bankruptcy, on drugs, doing crazy things. You understand? You hear about it all the time. Some were successful, invested their money. Some did wise things and had good agents and a good mindset, good family. But there's a lot of them, the overwhelming majority, man, homeless. You know, it's a hell of a thing to see a pro athlete homeless. You understand? And a pro entertainer who was a star. They can't get a part. You understand? Out there waiting tables at a restaurant. That happens when you don't have backup plans. And I'm just saying that from the standpoint of stay out of the fast food joints, cook at home. If it ain't essential, don't do it. And when you buy clothes, when you buy things, even women, when they get that, find a way to get your hair done without spending $300 to put fake hair in your head. You understand? Like it's yours. You know, oh, this is a real, real Indian hair. What the hell is that? You ain't an Indian. You know, so why would you want somebody else's hair in your head? You know, and it's just, oh man. You know, but anyway, I don't want to even get into that because I'll lose people. You know what I mean? You know, they think they got it. That's my right. It's my head. Yeah, you're right. Go ahead, do what you want to do to it. But the point is that the struggle continues, and we got to get into the mentality of discipline on how we spend our money, discipline on how we think, you know, be wise. Look, I just tell people, you know, about drugs and alcohol. Say, what if your people need a transfusion and you drunk, you full of drugs? Yeah. And you say, you never know when you have to give blood to your family member or something like that. So don't get involved in that behavior. You have to be alert 24 hours, 7 days a week, especially if you're a man, especially a black man, because you're the number one target of everybody. All races see you as an enemy. All Asians, Latinos, white people, it doesn't matter. You understand? They see you as an enemy. As I said, in Venezuela, 1.8 to 2 million people are of African descent. They consider that African culture is essential to their culture of that influence. We don't know that. We never seen that. And same thing in Colombia, Brazil, and all those places. The majority of black people live in Brazil. That's not in Africa. America's the third largest population of African people. And we only, 10-12% of America's population. You understand? But we're mighty because of who we are and because of our intelligence. I'm just saying we need to use our intelligence, not the intelligence that the man put into us to use, but intelligence that we are able to manifest within our own psyche as far as what's going on around us. You see the guy exercising brute racist power, arresting every Latino and Afro-Latino in this country, citizen or not, and deporting them to prisons. This is raw, but ain't nobody, you know what I mean? Only people can stop them is the people. But the people, like I said, didn't stop them in slavery, didn't stop them in the genocide of Native Americans, didn't stop them in the genocide of the Jews, didn't stop them in the genocide of the Armenians, didn't stop them in the genocide of what's going on in Sudan and Somalia right now and in parts of India and things of that nature where people are starving to death while we throw food away. I mean, we get a sandwich that don't taste right, we throw it out the window. Man, I told that man don't put no onions on it. He put onions on it. I ain't going to eat it. You know what I mean? Yeah, people that, man, they ain't got nothing to eat. I mean, they eating clay, eating dirt. You understand? They're drinking water out of ponds and things of this nature. Don't even have fresh water. Life expectancy is less than, 40, 45 years old. No hospitals, no medical. You understand? So we have to go back to nutritional eating, go back to eating as properly as we can, as much as we can. I know we hooked on meat and hooked on various forms of sugars and salts, but learn how to control that. We have to change our ways. And we have to get as many people as we can within our atmosphere, our family members, who we can influence to take on that responsibility and that challenge. But it's very difficult because many of them are comfortable in their oppression. Like the cat said, I'd rather die trying to be rich than to die not trying to be rich. You understand? That's what they were talking about in a number of motion pictures. You understand? Risking your life, burglarizing, stealing, dealing drugs. I'd rather take those chances. You understand? You go and you rob a 7-Eleven and you end up doing life in the penitentiary. And the only thing you're going to get out of it is a Slurpee and some peanuts and some, $400-$500, a couple $1,000s. What the hell is that? These people are stealing countries. Stealing countries while you're trying to steal some Pokemon cards. You understand? That don't even make sense. Don't you see the big picture? You understand? The big picture, they stole this country. Israel stole Palestine. Russia stole Asia. I mean, China, from this standpoint, the only reason it's strong is they had a cultural revolution. A cultural revolution. They wouldn't let nobody out and nobody in for years. And they concentrated on getting their own culture together, their own value system together, their own ethics. May it be Mao Zedong, or may it be this new guy. Until they got to the point that they became an economic and political power in the world. And that's why Maulana always argued that the key crisis in black people's life was a culture crisis of views and values. Values of what we eat, values of how we live, just stop and think. If our kids save half the money we gave them that they used for nonsense, they could open up a business. You understand? They can open up a mom and pop store. We used to have it that way. A P&G in Long Beach, fish market, record stores we used to own, barber shops we used to own, shoe shine parlors we used to own. You know, these are businesses that we own and operated, pawn shops. We had businesses. And all of a sudden, we buying from businesses. The same things that we should be buying from each other. You know, so every weekend at Leimert Park, they have the biggest Afrocentric flea market that you want to see. They sell food, they sell clothing, they sell ornaments. But where are we at? In the mall, buying European stuff. Buying European stuff. The same guy that oppressed you. When we say your oppressor can't be your teacher, yeah, he can't be your dresser. He can't be your determiner of how you're going to look. You know? So you got black people trying to look white as much as they can. Ain't going to get them a husband or a wife. You understand? I want you to look at one thing about the white people, the Democrats and the Republicans. They all clean shaven, white people. They don't have no hair. Very few of them have hair on their face if they're in the government. Just look at them. They're all clean shaven, like that's a code. You understand? Just notice, just look at Trump cabinet. Everybody in there practically don't have no hair on their face. None. You understand? No mustache, no hair, no beard. And they wearing a red tie or blue tie. You understand? I mean they deal with their patriotism. Are we patriotic to our own culture and our own values? You understand that our oldest text tells us how to live. Sacred text. You know, even Elijah Muhammad said, you don't live to eat, you eat to live. You understand? You don't live to eat, you eat to live. Carter G. Woodson, the miseducation of the Negro. That you are not going to ever be educated by your oppressor on how to make it. You know, he chooses who he'll let make it. And once he feels that you're safe and that you're loyal to him, he'll give you an opportunity. You understand? And if you don't, like Komenak standing on one knee and for against police brutality, they kicked him out of the NFL. You understand? Out the NFL. He couldn't get a job. Because what? He did. He didn't prove his loyalty. You understand? His patriotism. Now, how do you be your own man in a white man? You got to have game. You got to have game. Know where to do. Know when. Or what is it? Know when to hold them, know when to fold them, and know when to run. You're in enemy territory. Nobody outside your family or outside your of people that think like you should know what you think. You understand? I tell my kids, don't talk politics on your job with them white folks. Don't let them know what you're thinking. You say, I don't even pay attention to the news, you know, and just go on about your business. You trying to argue with white folks or Trump good or bad, you crazy. If they don't see it, that's because they with him. You understand? That white people should rule the world. That's their mentality. While others want to just live on it. And so it's a struggle from that standpoint. But we got to keep on pushing. No matter what, we got to keep on pushing.
I'm fine.
You know, Machinda, you ever get back? Rasha Key, you there?
Yes.
You have any comments?
Professor Rob, no, I don't have any comments. I hear what you're saying, and we really, it's a lot being in the system that's against you. It's truly a lot. And like you said, need to be strategic and
Yes, sir.
definitely need not to be like the oppressor. And learn, and what you can learn what they talk about, but you don't need to practice their lifestyle, that's for sure.
Well, I like what Ernest did. He learned the system and how to get around this beast. And you got to know how to navigate this system. Many of our people think that they didn't get the job because they wasn't qualified. They don't even factor race into it. You know what I mean? They just didn't like me. I blew the interview. You know what I mean? Man, if you got the skills, they're supposed to hire you. You're the top. You got the top score, and they didn't hire you, and they chose somebody else. Whatever. It ain't about jobs. What about businesses? You know, you can't get loans and grants. So you have to save your money and finance your damn self. You understand? You have to look at that. That's what they mean, generational wealth. What do we want money for? To travel around the world, go on cruises and things of this nature. If it ain't essential and it ain't about preserving the generations behind you to continue, what are you doing? You know, you're just throwing away money. Look at all the black people that go to casinos. I ain't saying you shouldn't go every now and then to enjoy yourself, but not every week with your paycheck. You understand what I'm saying? Thinking you're gonna be lucky. Same way people playing lotto, playing $400 and $500 a week and a month. You understand? Even if you win, you're just winning what you lost back. You understand? I've been in the gambling world. The house always wins. You understand? My daddy ran a gambling shack. The house always wins. You understand? They cut. And I'm just saying that we have to start thinking strategically about the reality of where we are and what's going on around us, rather than get caught up in the cobwebs of confusion. And the clouds of disturbance of the point in which you just want to enjoy life and like there's no threat to you. Like the Mexicans that voted for Trump. And he said he's just gonna get the criminals out. You see what he did, didn't you? Same thing in Africa. The brothers and sisters that was helping them catch slaves ended up getting caught their damn self. You understand what I'm saying? When he couldn't catch no more, he took them. You understand? I'm just trying to tell you how the game go. And so we sitting here thinking, oh, he ain't gonna never start saying the Negroes are a threat to America. You understand? That's all he had to say. That we pose a threat because we finna go into Africa and take it, and all the black people here got to be quarantined or put in check. You understand? Even the ones in the military. I remember in the Watts Rebellion, they took all the black police off the streets in the sheriff department and put them in the office of bookers. You understand? You didn't see no black police on the street during the first Watts Rebellion. I'm telling you, I was out there. And when they arrested me and took me in as a juvenile, all of them were detectives and all the black. As a matter of fact, Chief Koshe is the one who became Compton Police Chief, was the one that booked me as a juvenile. And with another officer named Stanford, I'll never forget their name. These were high-ranking police officers that was in there booking people. You understand? I'm just telling you, man, it's a different game. People don't believe things that happen. The middle-class Jews didn't think Hitler was going to get them. You know, he thought he was gonna get the downtrodden. Yeah. Man, Hitler got to killing every Jew he could find. You understand? And you don't get as many Africans over here like you was shopping for slaves or people to enslave in Africa. You just went grab it. Why would you pay or trade for something you could take? You understand? When you go in the market, you don't steal because there's consequences. What consequences did white enslavers have? There were no consequences. Who was stopping them? Who was punishing them? Who was telling them it was illegal? Who was telling them that, hey, man, this is a violation of human rights? They didn't even have a structure globally to stop them. And that's why, Europe, all Spain, all of Europe participated in the Holocaust of enslavement. And the annihilation of the Native American with disease and everything. They killed kids, man. Native American kids with smallpox. Man, I mean, this is the nature of the person you're dealing with. You keep thinking that Dick Van Dykes and Chevy Chases and shit like that. These are some serious warmongering people. And you can tell by the ones who are letting them go into Venezuela and not upset about it. They're waiting for the benefit. The benefit. Will our oil prices go down? Will there be more jobs for us, middle class jobs? Will it create more prosperity for us? I'm telling you, man, the white woman, she loved it. Loved a man to go out and take stuff and bring it back home. You understand? And she'd be treated like a queen. He taking care. All she had to do was load the gun and keep the gun plowed. You understand? I mean, there were some white women that were good women. I mean, there's some white people. There were some good white people. I just haven't met them, but you may know them. You understand? That's you. You understand? But I'm just telling you, you know, and I ain't saying hate nobody. I'm just saying love yourself. Love your people. Honor them. Respect those that are struggling. Support those that are struggling. Support organizations that you think are doing a good job. Support even this program by any way you can, you know. And you know, help Rasha Key with the finances and the support of this program, you know, as much as we can. Those are the things we got to start doing to keep this program alive and to keep what we're doing alive and to keep our struggle of educating with the Community Education Network and the Conscious Corner. And so those are the things that we have to look at. Rasha Key, you have any closing comment?
I agree with what you said.
All right. What about you? Well, I think what keeps running through my mind is when Bob Marley say total destruction is the only solution. And wow. Then I think, well, no, I think I want to live. I'm gonna just negotiate my way through it. You know?
Yeah, you got to. You can. You got to choose life.
Yeah.
You got to choose life. You understand, and you got to have a quest for immortality. It's a struggle, because you know when you get older, your body's going one way, and you're trying to go another.
Right.
You understand? You're trying to have energy, and your body is saying ooh, 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 as you go, you know. But you keep on pushing, keep moving. You gotta keep moving, brother, and keep thinking. You know what about you, Ahi? You came off mute and you went back on.
You funny, Rob. I've been laughing all night. But I think that about covers it. Because we got to still, we got to pull it together. Remember that we are one people. And like you say, do what's necessary to keep the struggle on and donate to Community Education Network.
Yeah.
Definitely. Now, definitely. I agree with that.
We got to be disciplined, man. Discipline is the first thing you learn as a soldier. You understand? That's why they break you down. You understand? Your shoes got to be shining. Your belt got to be shining. Your uniform got to fit you correctly. It's a little thing. I got to tell my kids, you cannot get funny haircuts. You understand? You can't do nothing to attract the enemy. You can't wear funny clothes. You understand? You're in a war zone. And if you don't train them that way, that's why they'd be susceptible. Now you can't go to no house party. Hell no. You understand? No, you ain't no more house party days. When we was coming up, you could go to a house party. They didn't have the guns there. You didn't have the gang, the mentality that they had. So you don't go to them things. No, you get your butt in the house. Now, when you get grown, if you want to do it, fine. But when you're under my atmosphere, I'm going to train you to be a soldier. You know, male and female. You understand? Now, I have to teach you to think that way. You understand? Now, look, in my house, for years, wasn't no Christmas trees. Never. You understand? They had to go to the in-laws to get all that. You understand? But in this house where I'm ruling, where I'm paying the bills, ain't none of that. You understand? Where we have a dead tree up in the house with a bunch of lights and stuff all on it. Then it may catch fire and all that. Hey, man, what are you doing? Mistletoes and all of this. You know? No, man, you know, I give you gifts every day. You don't have to worry about no gift on Christmas. You understand? You understand? But, I mean, our people, you know, they'd be fighting over dolls at the mall, getting up at 4 a.m. to stampede into a store to get a TV. And, oh, man, what are you doing? You understand? You know, what are you doing? The same TV is going to be on sale? Period, right after it. You understand? They got to liquidate them and get rid of them. Just wait. But, I mean, we get caught up in what Americans do when we do it. And what do? Greed. Greed and envy. My neighbor get a pool, I got to get a bigger pool. My neighbor get a Mercedes, I got to get a Rolls Royce. I mean, what are you doing? You understand? He got his house painted, I got to paint my house. You understand? I mean, your house look good. Now I'm going to paint it because he got his painted. You understand? I mean, when you got resources, hoard them. When you got funds, save them for essential things. Starting a business, putting your kids through school, doing things essential. Essential spending. You're in wartime. You don't have to do it. But you ask for solutions. The problem is people don't want to accept the solution. I was on Carl Nelson. And every solution I gave, he would come back with the same answer. Yeah, but we keep blaming white people. What is the solution? I just told you. Education, mobilization, organization, and confrontation. You understand? I mean, what else can I tell you, Carl? You know, I mean, that's the formula. We got to educate ourselves to the reality. Malcolm said, learn to think for yourself. See the world from your vantage. Your world is how you envision the world. You understand? And you got to envision it for what it really shows you. What these people are showing you is what they've been about throughout their history. You can go back to the Great Crusades, the imposition of Christianity on people and Islam on people. They imposed it on people. You understand? Most people didn't convert. They were forced to be into them religion. That's violently. You understand? That's how they built their religions. You understand?
Murdered in the name of
God. Look at the history of the Vatican. How could you call yourself a priest and stuff and you screwing little boys? You understand? I ain't talking about some. I'm talking about most of them. You know, they had to spend billions of dollars in settlement.
You know, still today.
No, you won't go around to be a priest, you have to be celibate. That's unnatural right there. You know what I'm saying? You have to be a nun, you have to be a celibate. That don't even make sense. Some ritual.
You think it's a cultural thing, Professor?
Huh?
You think it's a cultural thing because they're having the same issues with the evangelical? That same thing that happened in the Catholic Church, they having real issues with the pedophilia, with them screwing their little family members and
In
members
fact,
of their church.
yeah.
And this is why they want to go so hard, so-called, that's what they say, they want to go so hard to find out what's happening with Epstein, because it's prevalent in their culture.
Well, we used to get married at 12 and 15 back in the South. I mean, women, that they got it from the European culture, of course. But at the same time, that's I believe you're correct. You shouldn't have incest and you shouldn't be messing with young girls as old men. But that's been a part of American culture for years. You understand? They raped the little kids in slavery. They raped the little kids. As soon as they had a period, they started having sex with them. And the same thing with the Native American. That's why you have so many mixed-looking people. You understand? They didn't marry them. And soldiers in Vietnam left babies and had to go back and get them. You understand? Afro-Asian babies and things of that nature. Same thing in Japan. Right now, having sex with a youngster is a delicacy to white people. As you said, remember at Jack Nicholson house with the film producer, and
Oh,
he,
yeah.
yeah, man. And what about the other guy that was a top star? He married the little adoption girl he had, Asian girl,
Woody Allen.
Woody Allen. So, hey, man, and ain't nobody said nothing about that. They don't criticize their culture for that. Because, yeah, like you said, it's a part of their nature. You understand? They're all these cats. Look at a man, we can go down the line with Europeans that have married prostitutes and young girls and things of this nature. I mean,
Yeah.
they do that. You know what I'm saying?
Babe Ruth.
The whole Playboy thing was about young girls. You understand? That's what Playboy was about. You couldn't be no old bunny. Who wants an old ass rabbit? You know what I'm saying? That don't even make sense. You understand?
Rod,
They wanted young rabbits, young babies. That's what the Easter egg hunt was all about. Paint women and hide and go get it. And hide and go seek. It was hide and go get it. That's what they did. That's where the Easter egg hunt come from. Look at the goddess Easter. It was a freak day. You understand? It was a pagan holiday. But people don't want to do the research. They just, Christians took it and turned it into an Easter egg hunt, act like rabbits lay eggs and all that type of stuff. It don't even make sense. You understand? Rabbits have babies. You understand? They're most frugal. That's why the Playboy Club symbol was a rabbit. Why? Because of this sexual image and things of this nature. But that's a whole new different argument for a whole new different day. Roscoe, who we got next week?
You mean tomorrow?
Yeah.
Right.
I got Dr.
He said it. He said, "Well, you turn into Richard Pryor tonight." Okay, we got Sister Linda. Let me show you guys.
Okay, I got Dr. Sensato. He's supposed to be on Tuesday.
Okay, but tonight we got Sister Linda. I mean, tomorrow we have Sister Linda. Let me show you.
Okay.
So there it is. Self-care, comfortable living through Black inventors. So
Okay.
that should be good.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's
That'll
what we
be
have.
all right then. Well, listen, brother, I hope all y'all have a good day, good night's sleep. And that we all get food for thought, and just think about what's going on. Pay close attention to what these people are doing. Well, a hot war may start any minute. You understand? You better be prepared. All right, then.
All right, Rod. All
right,
I need Brother Machinda and Ernest.
All right,
East 1T1 and
yeah.
Conscious Corner.
You tell another.